it was pressed upon me for us to talk about the subject matter of salvation. Now, the person that started the discussion ain't here. But just the same, I believe in repetition. I believe that we learn that way. I learn that way. And there's nothing wrong with repeating things over and over again, especially if it is true. So there's a few things that I want to go over with you all this morning. Apart from John, we'll go back to John next week. We are going to talk about salvation. And the reason is because every now and again you have one faithful, fearless person that expresses how they feel, not realizing that we have about 20 or 30 or 100 others that feel the same way. Just don't say anything. So we're going to make it clear on, number one, this church's stance on salvation and what the Bible has to say about it. For those of you on Zoom, welcome. Happy to have you here. And if there is something that is shared this morning that you wholeheartedly disagree with, I am available to you to talk about it at another time. Because we are not, the one thing that we're not going to do is we are not going to feel fearful about having a discussion. So I hope you brought your pens and paper. If not, we record the sermon. You can listen to it later if you need to refer back. But we are going to be in a lot of scripture today. And I'm not asking you to flip through every page, but if you are a Berean and you want to, you will write them down and you will see if what the scriptures are saying are so. Salvation. I think in order for us to first understand salvation, we must understand sin. There are many churches today that do not say the word or acknowledge sin. They don't want people to feel uncomfortable. So let's understand sin. Adam and Eve were on this earth and they lived a life that was not sinful. In the beginning, when they were first on the earth, they were not of sin. However, we are aware of the famous story of Adam and Eve. They sinned. Adam sinned against God. And because he sinned against God, him, his wife, and the entire human race from that moment on was born into sin. What is sin? Sin is separation from God. Separation as a lifestyle, separation as actions. It is separation from God. If you notice that God removed Adam and Eve from the garden, they were separated. Their relationship changed. But there was a hope. That hope is for that communion that God had with man to happen again. The entire plan of salvation can be found in Genesis. Man sinned, God developed a plan. He said, you're going to suffer for this sin. But there is a seed that is coming that will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed. We are talking about Jesus. in Genesis. So the plan for redemption, forgiveness of sin, so that the separation between God and man can be rid of, was already planned in Genesis chapter 3. So to understand that, and as we go through the entire text of Scripture, which we spoke about on Wednesday, if you look at the Bible and you go through the entire Bible, you see nothing but men that are sinful. Until we get to the life of Christ. Jesus is the only man that lived his, that was born and lived his life apart from sin. Every person is a sinner. We are all born into sin. I had a discussion with a gentleman the other day, and he said, well, what about the babies? That's not fair. The babies are born into sin too. Every infant is born into sin. Everything is sin. Well, Lawan, I don't feel very good about knowing that. It's facts. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 20, it says, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. In other words, as this book, I like to call it a book of, they consider it a book of poetry, but I also think it's a book of philosophy too, that there is no man ever born that did not sin. We are all sinners. And because we are all sinners, we all need salvation. And if we all need salvation, there's only one way to that salvation. What is salvation? It is the eternal fellowship and union with God. We were once separated from Him because of sin, and now because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we now may have intimacy and a relationship with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish. Perish in what, Lawan? Perish in their sin, but will have eternal life. So God loves the world so much that He gave His Son, that anyone that believes in Him will not die or succumb to their sin and be eternally separated from God, but will have eternal life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world. He's talking about that particular moment, did not judge the world, but that the world might be what? Saved through Him. Saved from what, Lawan? Eternal separation from God. This is what salvation is. For some of you, you're probably thinking, Lawan, you're preaching to the choir. Okay. You know why? Because sometimes we get hit with questions and we're not sure how to answer it. We're not sure how to deal with this. And sometimes we get so caught up in the tradition of how things were taught and how things are that you don't understand why. You know what you believe, but you do not know why you believe it. We are all guilty of that. To know what we believe, but not to know why we believe it. We are talking about Scripture here. So salvation, to be saved, means to have eternal an eternal relationship, have a relationship first off. Let's say that. A relationship with God himself, with intimacy, that will last throughout eternity. Let me rewind it back. So to have salvation, you got to forgive me because sometimes I don't write things down, so I'm just going off the fly, so I have to remember what I said. What it means to have salvation, it means to have a relationship with God of intimacy that will last throughout all eternity. It's almost like, and we'll use this analogy today a couple of more times, it is almost like the infinity symbol. Do you know what that is? The infinity symbol. That is what a man is when they have salvation with our Lord. There's no end and there's no stopping. There's never a point where they're separated. Well, Luan, I got a question for you. Is salvation that easy? I mean, I went to a church the other day, and the pastor was talking, and he was talking great, and the music was great because they had the smoke machines, and they had the college-age praise and worship teams singing and jumping up and down, and then the pastor comes out, and he does his sermon, and then all of a sudden, boom, he says, anyone want to receive Christ, say this prayer with me, repeat after me, oh Lord, I know I'm a sinner, blah, 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 and if you've said that prayer, guess what, you are now saved. Hallelujah. Is it that easy? That's what questions people ask. We talked about it in Bible study. If you ever want to come, 6:30 on Wednesdays, we have Bible study where we talked about this. We talked about how there's a certain type of conference, crusade, if you will, where they take pride and how many people have accepted Christ. They go to Anaheim Stadium. It's completely free. And they have concert. They've got preaching. And then they say, anyone wants to accept Christ, come down to the field. Now imagine Anaheim Stadium is a big venue. And sometimes they fill up the whole infield. I had one person, I'll tell you that in a minute. But these people all say this prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. They're confessing their sin. They're accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. And they say, guess what? Now you are all saved. And these people, by the thousands, say we are now new believers, beings in Christ. And more importantly, the church takes pride and says, this year's crusade, we had 4,000 people accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. This year we had 3,000. This year we had 5. Is it that easy? Is it just a prayer? Well, it's a yes and a no answer. I had a buddy one time tell me that he went down to the He went down to the Harvest Crusade. Nothing against Calvary Chapel people. I love Calvary Chapel. I love the church. I love the ministries. But they went down to the Harvest Crusade in Anaheim Stadium, and he said that he had never been on a baseball field before, so he wanted to go down. You had another person that went down and said, you know what? I go down just to be safe. I was there last year. I'm going to go down there this year. And when I go to church on Sunday, I'm going to repeat that same prayer every week just to make sure that I'm safe. What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 10:9 says this, that if you confess your sins, with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth. Does that mean I got to go to my priest and confess in the confessional box? No. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Master. I belong to him. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of my life. As I said before, there's a lyric in a song, and I like to use this analogy every now and again, that at this point, that once you accept Christ as your Savior, saves you from sin, and Lord as your Master, he should be the beginning, the middle, and the end of every chapter in your life. It should be about him, not about you. Forget the country song, Jesus take the wheel. Yeah, you could say that, but Jesus is the vehicle. He runs the whole show. He is Lord of my life. Not a friend, not a buddy. Now, he is our friend, but he's our Savior first. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And you know what? He's given us the privilege to be called friends. Because guess what? He doesn't have to. He can easily just say, you know what? I've saved you. Do what you need to do, and I'll talk to you later. No, he's giving you opportunity through his word to have intimacy with him every single day by being in his word. That's why I ask how many of you are reading. You understand that God is speaking to you through his word? All you got to do is ask, pray, Lord, please give me revelation. Read his word, meditate on it. And as you're meditating on it, then guess what? God is going to start showing up. He's already here. So to answer the question, is it that easy? Is it just a prayer? Yes and no. Some people will pray that prayer and not believe. It's because they want to look good in front of their girlfriend. They want to look good in front of their boyfriend. They just can't say no to people asking them questions. You must, within yourself, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead in order for you to be saved. It is not as easy as a key being the prayer that you say every single week that's going to save you. Because it's not going to be a situation where God is going to say, you know what? I remember you prayed that prayer. For the past 15 years, you've been praying that prayer every single week. And you know what? 2 years ago, on that rainy Sunday morning, I received you. After you saying the prayer 150 times. Wrong. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. Look as we're going through John. Look at what the religious folk are doing. They're going against Jesus himself. And their issue is that people believe in him. When the Bible says that you must confess, it is saying that you must commit yourself to him. And when it says you believe, it means that you are dependent upon him. Like a newborn child coming fresh out of the womb. Sometimes you got to smack the baby in order for the baby to breathe. But you do not see, as we've mentioned this before, you do not see infants walking down the street right now of Oxnard handling their business. They are 100%, their entire life and existence is dependent upon the one that holds them in their arms. When Layla was first born, I got a chance to experience the crazy girl from Loma Linda before Jamie did. And I remember when they gave her to me for the very first time and I held her, she was very, very small. I can't imagine that now. I can't even remember that now, how tiny she was. But when I held her, There was nothing in the world that made me think that she could make it by herself. She could not make it by herself. If I dropped her off in the beach right now, she would not make it as an infant, days old. What's the point, Luan? The point is that you, I, we must be so dependent on our Lord that we are like babies. Completely dependent upon Him. It's almost a situation where you say, Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll see you next week. Lord willing, I'll see you next year. Because we have no control. It's the Lord's doing and only His doing. Does everyone understand that so far as we talked about salvation? Amen. Is there anyone that's unclear about it? I'm so sad that the two people that started the discussion aren't here. But that's okay. Can a person lose their salvation? This is the discussion. This is the debate. Can your life cause you to lose your salvation? I had a conversation with someone and someone said, man, it's just crazy to me that people accept Christ and go off and do some crazy things and then still expect to be saved. Are they still saved? Did they lose their salvation? What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have missed the mark. A beautiful analogy that was given to me is that if you look at your body, okay, you look at your body, and then you look at your soul, your spirit, that part is what's being saved. So even though your body is still filled with the stink and stench of sin, the inner part of you is saved and the Holy Spirit dwells. That's how it works. Well, Lord, I'm watching this person. They said they're saved. The next thing you know, I see them at a bar. That's not your business. You can show concern. Hey, I've noticed. I saw you at the bar. Why did you see me? Well, because I was there too, but it doesn't matter. You're the pastor. I'm just saying, right? But can we lose our salvation? I think someone said last week that, well, if they accept Christ and they're going off and doing type of things, yeah, they can lose their salvation. Which means, guess what? That person, for some reason, between point A and point B, has the power to erase what God did. Just saying. If we can erase the power of what God did, then why aren't we creating things? And what I mean by creating things, I don't mean by creating things as, oh, I just came up with a new car that runs through water. No, I'm talking about creation. None of us have that power. Are you greater than God? How many of you are greater than God? Raise your hands. So then how do you take something that God established, which is salvation, and take it out of His hands and say that you have the ability to lose it? Matthew chapter 19, verse 25-26 says, when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Understand that God wrote the book on salvation. He has the plan of salvation. And you cannot gain your salvation through yourself, by yourself, or in yourself. So if you cannot do those things, how could you, being born into sin, being a natural born sinner, how is it that you are possible to be rid of your salvation? I'm asking. Just a thought. Well, you know, Luan, I've noticed that there's some people, sometimes they'll be in the church, they've been in church 20, 30 years, they do this, this, and this, and next thing you know, before I realize that they're out of the church, they're gone, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing these things. Okay, well, we're going to deal with that in a minute. We as believers, and forgive me for saying this, please forgive me, all of you, for saying this, but I'm off the book right now, and it's touching my heart. I have watched people accuse another believer of not being a believer because of an action. I had a buddy whose wife doesn't like to go to church more than one service a day. And this guy questioned her salvation. I know people that will see another believer at a bar. See him with a beer in a grocery cart. See a Christian at a movie theater and wonder about their salvation. I've had a person in this church question my salvation. Doesn't know me at all. And you know what? It's not our place. It's not my place to say that you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. Jesse, I don't know, brother. It's not my place. It is none of our places to do that. You know why? Because we don't know. I've had people in this sanctuary or in my office use a foul word. I didn't sit there and say they're not saved. Hey, it's rated G conversation here, man. Or woman. You know? But I'm not going to hold it to you. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And it doesn't mean that we are not saved. So, can a person lose their salvation through their actions? No. They cannot lose their salvation through their actions. They cannot lose their salvation at all. Does that mean that this person can go out and just go and go wreak havoc everywhere they go? No. But we're going to get to that in a minute. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8. It says that, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, there is nothing that will separate us from the love of our Lord. Well, what about me, including you? What do we talk about? If y'all remember, I feel like I'm debating with you guys at all. It's just, what did we say in Psalms 23? Surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me, follow me all the days of my life. So you're telling me that that verse is void if you believe you can lose your salvation. If you believe that you lose your salvation, then surely goodness and loving kindness will follow you until it stops. And then it stops following you and you go off into hell. Wrong. One cannot lose their salvation. And Jesus even said, we talked about it in John chapter 10, verses 29. It says that my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. So my Father who has given me my sheep, which we are his sheep, the Lord has given us to him. And he is greater than all. There's no one greater. He says, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So God is greater than all. There is no one greater than him. He has us as sheep. And you're telling me that I myself can jump out of his hand, or someone can snatch him out of my hand? You know what the shepherds used to do with sheep that continue to go astray? Break that leg. Remember, we told you a story. He hits him. Pop, get back into the fold. Pop, get back in the fold. Pop, pop, get back in the fold. Okay, you want to take off. Okay, I'm coming after you. Y'all wait here. Coming after you. Snap, break, carry you. Back to the fold. You can't run from God. If you belong to Him, you cannot run from Him. It's that simple. So when we say, well, can someone lose their salvation? The answer is no. No, no, no. Now the question is, have they accepted Christ truly as Savior and Lord? That's the question. There are pastors, there are televangelists that do not know who the Lord is. What did Jesus say? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Says it twice, Lord, Lord, Lord. Have I not prophesied in your name, and in your names cast out devils, and in your names did many wonderful works? And he says, I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. In other words, what those people were saying was, Lord, haven't, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a second, haven't I not been the religious one? Have I not been the faithful one at church every Sunday? Did I not do Bible study? Did I not do Sunday school? Did I not do all these great and wonderful things? But Jesus says, wait a minute, I never knew you. So it is possible for people to play the role of Christian without being one. Let me rephrase that. I'll say that I'm saying this in the sense of play the role of Christian without being one. In other words, I'm saying there's people that pretend to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and don't have one. Because honestly, the word Christian has messed a lot of people up. What I mean by that is there's been more abuse, more hurt, more embarrassment that has happened that is not biblical, that has happened under the title of I am a Christian. And like I said, when you open up the umbrella of Christian, you have everything from what we are to Mormon, Christian Science. It's a wide range. And they all say, we're Christian. That means nothing if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what is the doctrine of substitution? We talked about it last week. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We've talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again. I believe in repetition. I believe that if someone wants to come to you and wants to debate with you and argue with you about a person losing their salvation, then all you could do is turn to this text of Scripture here, and they should be able to checkmate them, if you will. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He has made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteous of God in him. In other words, God took your sin, your sinful lifestyle, and he put it on him when he went to the cross. I believe that when Jesus was on the cross, not only did he suffer physically, which is something that we could never imagine, but I also believe that he was dealing with the guilt of all of our sin. So I think there was some mental pains going on also. But what's the substitution? The substitution is simple. Jesus took our sin so that when we are washed by his blood, we look like we lived his life on earth. That's the inner part. Pure, spotless, without sin. And when God looked down at Jesus on the cross, he saw my sin, your sin, every single one of our sin on that cross. That is substitution. Well, Luan, why is there only one way? Why is Jesus the only way? I mean, I've studied some Eastern Orthodox religions. I've studied, you know, I've studied Mormonism. I've studied Buddhism. I've studied New Age. There's a lot of different ways to get to heaven. What did Oprah say? Our famous Oprah. It's funny. All right, please don't disappoint me. How many of y'all used to watch Oprah? Okay, you don't count Kara because we're the same age, which means you were watching the young. No one, none of y'all watch Oprah? Okay, I see two. That's it? None of y'all watch? Okay. You know what? I need a list of things that y'all have done because I don't believe y'all go home and just sit in a quiet room all day. Good Lord. How many people know who Oprah is? Oh, okay. Whew. I'm talking about her talk show that came on at 3 o'clock. Okay, all right. Y'all remember the story? Well, for those of you that don't know, there was a woman named Oprah, and she had a show, and it came on at 3 o'clock, right before Ricky Lake at 4 o'clock. Popular woman, a billionaire. She says that there's multiple ways. She's even gotten pastors to support that. There's multiple ways to get to heaven. You may call him God, I may call him the light, and you may call him the universe. No, there's only one way to heaven. It is not the universe. It's not the light. It is Jesus Christ. It is not about being, you can't get to heaven by being a good person. You can't get to heaven even knowing about Jesus. Jesus must be Lord of your life. Yes. Knowing about Jesus is fine. You can know about him. And that's what we have, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, take it with a grain of salt. I believe that there's a good number of Christians in our country right now that know about Jesus. Yeah, he's a good teacher. I mean, the Muslims believe that. They believe that Jesus is a great teacher, not the Messiah, not the Son of God, not the Savior. So when we look at it, those things do not make you a believer. What does Acts chapter 4, verse 12 say? Well, this is what it says. It says, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given amongst men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus said this to himself, said it to his disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Not through my mom. Not through, well, the way the Mormons' faith believes, not through my brother, which they believe the Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Not through your good, righteous living, according to yourself. The reason why I said mom is because a lot of people believe that Mary is the intercessor of your prayers in some parts of the Roman Catholic Church. I pray to Mary and she will talk to Jesus. And then everything will be all right. Wrong. Not through the saints. St. Andrew, St. Peter, St. so-and-so, St. such-and-such. No. Only through Jesus Christ is salvation. Remember when I said that talked about the Lord concept. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Then many will say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't I prophesied in your name, and in your name did cast out devils, and in your name did many wonderful works. I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Jesus makes it clear, as we talked about before, the word ginosko. What does ginosko mean? Does anyone remember? To know. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you. I'm going to have to start using that word more often. I've used it, I think, in like 4 different sermons. Ginosko, to know. The intensity of to know is a man knowing his wife. That's what it means. When it says that Adam knew his wife and she became pregnant, it is an intimate word. So it's not just you know about Jesus. It is just not, oh, I've read a couple of his books and I went to a couple of his conferences and I got the sticker, the bumper sticker, and the t-shirt and hat. No. As I said to you before, my hope and prayer in the future is that you are so in the Word of God that when you come here, it is nothing but just a jump start to your week, because guess what? You didn't need this church to jump start you. It's for encouragement, it's for communion with other believers, but you have an intimate relationship with God that Monday through Saturday, nobody can see you because your relationship is so strong with our Lord. Jesus says, I never knew you. All those things you did, you were boasting about. Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Boast. In your name cast out devils. Boast. In your name did many wonderful works. And with many wonderful works, we're talking about everything. I gave to the homeless. I fed the hungry. I did this. I did all of these things are boastful things. And Jesus says, all of those things are fine, but I never knew you. So you depart from me. You get away from me. You worker of lawlessness, meaning that you will go to the place that was not created for you. You will be eternally separated from God. You can be involved with the church all you want, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you could do all you want for the church, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all of your works will go in the fire with you. Does everyone understand? Well, Luana, you got me, man. What do I do? What do I need to do? Can you earn it? We've already talked about this a little bit, haven't we? We can't earn our salvation. The moment we start to say we earn our salvation is the moment we begin to boast like that those people in the book of Matthew. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in your salvation. It's not because of what you've done. I'm famous. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift from God. It is not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. In other words, those men in Matthew prophesied in your name, and they're boasting about things. Jesus, you are saved by grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. A gift from God. Let me get a little bit personal. I don't want you to raise your hands. I just want you to think about this. Have you ever had a holiday season, Christmas time, where you buy a gift for a kid that is just bad? Like, man, I'm giving this kid this gift. I'm just going to give it to him and walk away because I know if they open and they don't like it and they act like they don't like it, I'm taking it back. Just unappreciative, spoiled kids. Or people. There was one time I got Jamie a gift, right? I gave Jamie this gift, and I was so excited to give it to her. I was waiting, and I give her a gift, and I'm excited. I'm just waiting to see how she's going to respond, and she opens up. She says, "Oh, this is nice, but you couldn't get me," and she couldn't finish the sentence, and I body slammed her, just Now, for those of you that know me and know Jamie, how many of you believe that story? I was just joking. It didn't happen. Point is, because I'm not going to body slam nobody, but the thing is, have you ever given a gift to someone and they were unappreciative of it? I seen in a movie one time where a woman bought her mother a house and her mother said, "You should just give me the money." Can't receive the gift. Salvation is a gift from God. He is giving it to you because, number one, He loves you. He's also giving it to you so that you may see His glory. He's also giving it to you so that He may be glorified amongst all. It is not because of what you're doing. Well, Lord, I've been keeping track. Okay, Lord, I spend 45 hours a week in the church working for you, and then I make sure that I pay more than my tithes. I pay like half of my paycheck. I give to the church, and then I make sure I sing hymns and songs, and I only wear fragrances that are filled with myrrh and with frankincense, and all that stuff don't mean nothing. Your salvation is a gift. It is not a wage. When I go to work, when I used to work at a fast food restaurant, I worked with the hope and the plan and the expectation that I would get paid the dollar amount that I worked. If I agreed to work for 8 hours and I was getting paid $10 an hour, which that's not was my time. That my time was it was when I was in school was $5.95 an hour. You worked $5.95 an hour, you expect a $5.95 an hour paycheck then after you get taxes. But you work and you expect the paycheck. You don't work and expect the salvation. The salvation is a gift. Everything that happens afterwards is the result of your salvation. There is something that is a wage. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, you could choose sin, which is going to cost you. Or you could choose Christ, which is free. Which one do you want? Because the wages of sin is death. But we have a free gift. If man had the opportunity to boast about his salvation, do you know how? Do you understand that we do that now? Look around the sanctuary. There should be no reason why every single chair should be filled to where people feel uncomfortable because you don't give me enough elbow space. Why are people separating themselves from the church? Because we have believers that believe that they can boast about their salvation and boast about their status of who they are. There was a woman preaching not too long ago on a video that I saw, unfortunately, where she said, "How dare you ever question the pastor?" And people are amening her, especially some of the pastors. They're wrong. That's worship. It's about the works. Well, Luan, you say these things, that's all great, but what about the extra holy? What about these people that we see that they, as an old saying used to say, that they're so heavenly good that they're earthly no good? What about these extra religious people that are just extra holy all the time? You walk up to them, "How you doing?" "Oh, the Lord is good." "Yeah, the Lord is good. He is good. Yes, yes." You call them their voicemail message. "Yeah, hello, hey. God bless you. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm not in right now, but if you leave your name and number at the Sanctified Beat, I will give you a holy call back and praise the Lord. Hallelujah." Like, they're just so extra with it. What about those extra holy people? Those people that will look their nose up at you because Cheryl missed church to go to a baseball game. Cheryl missed church. I'm just saying. "I'm sorry, Cheryl. It's been a while. I haven't gotten to mess with you." How many? What about those people? Y'all know who those people are, right? Y'all have seen these people in your lives. They're just. What does the Bible say? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. This is what it says. It's a part of what it says. It says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy garments." Filthy rags. In other words, there's nobody on this face of the earth that is better than anybody else. Do they have more time in the scriptures than you? Maybe so, but you could fix that. Do they have more of a praying discipline in their lifestyle? Sure, but you have control over that too. As far as we're concerned, what the book of Isaiah is saying here, it is saying that your righteousness, your best, is filthy rags, filthy garments. In the Hebrew, it gets even more detail if you want it. Do you want it? Are you sure? Okay, so in other words, the filthy garments are in comparison and are taken from the concept of filthy garments that a woman uses during her menstrual cycle. Your very best in righteousness is a filthy menstrual rag. That's what it says in the Hebrew text. So you mean to tell me, Luan, I've been sitting here acting all holy and righteous, and it don't mean nothing unless you have Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is being glorified, it means absolutely nothing. Our salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and our best are filthy rags, but with him, our best gives glory to God. Well, Luan, what about those that step away? I knew somebody that was in the church. I grew up with them in the church. We've known each other forever. And before you know it, they're off doing other things. I was told a couple weeks ago about a person that used to be involved with this church, I believe, that went off and left his wife and now is living a crazy life on the other side and doing all these different type of things. What about those? Do they still have salvation? Well, two answers to that. One, if they are indeed in Christ, they're not going to be gone long. God will get them back because he's the good shepherd. And two, the other answer is how we answer that is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. In other words, those, and what do I mean by that? Some people use this verse and they use it with the church. Okay? Forgive me for saying this, you guys. I don't want to rub upon anything sensitive, but I'm going to say this and I'm going to make it clear. Okay? When Steve Garcia decided to leave this church, this does not apply to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not going to use this verse and say, well, Steve was never of us because he didn't stay with us. No, he left. Doesn't mean he's not a believer. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's, people use this verse and they use it in the context of the local church. This is using it in the context of the entire bride of Christ. Those who walk away from us, walk away from the faith, they were never truly of us. Because if they were of us, they would have remained and stayed with us in the faith. If any of you decide, LaJuan, I don't like your teaching style and I'm not feeling this, I'm going to another church, God bless you and we'll see you around. It's not, well, I wonder if you're truly a believer. No, no, no. We have in the scriptures all the time where believers don't agree with each other and they go off. Well, Paul and Barnabas were that. They had a disagreement. They debated about something. One went one way, another went the other. The word of God still was preached. So to answer the question, what about those that stepped away? Number one, were they truly in him? Well, he's been away now for 20 years. It doesn't mean he won't come back. It doesn't mean that she won't come back. We don't know. We do know that those that step away can't run for too long. And it may take years for us, but they can't stay away for too long. And then those that did step away and go off and do other things, then maybe they were never truly in the faith to begin with. We know Jesus' story about the seeds, different grounds that the seed falls on. So when it says that they would have stayed with us, we go into the Greek word meaning abide, means to stay. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so that neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is making it clear here that you must continue to abide. Abide means to stay. We must remain in the faith. We must stay with our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a situation where we can go into a backslidden condition? Yes, we can. Is there a situation that we can sin? Absolutely. But we must stay. Because God made it very clear. He will discipline the ones he loves. So you may be gone, but you ain't gonna be gone long. So here's my question to you. We've talked about these things. We've talked about salvation. The fact that you cannot lose your salvation. The fact that salvation is a gift from God. The fact that when people step away and they seem like they step away from the faith doesn't necessarily mean that they did. And if they did, then we have to question whether or not they truly were in him. That's where our prayer comes in. We continue to pray for those that they remain. My question is this. What is we as believers, why is it that we have believers have determined to have the power to figure out this salvation for other people? Do we care about salvation? What I mean by that is I understand I may ask you this question and you may say, yes, I care about salvation. Do you care about it for others? Does salvation matter to others? There was a gentleman a few months back wanted to debate about the whole mass thing and the whole, you know, government and, you know, pro-Trump and pro-this and pro-that. And, you know, and I said, are you a believer, man? He said, oh, yeah, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a believer. Ha, ha, ha. Ruff, ruff. Okay. What is your debate about politics have to do right now with your drawing people near to Christ? I got silence. Check out this video. The world is conspiring to take over this. Ruff, ruff, ruff. Meow, meow. I said, okay, check it out. What Bible book are you reading? I don't care about the politics stuff. The politics is cool. You have your opinion. That's cool. You do your thing. What are you doing as far as you saying that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? And then I asked him any third time.
Yeah, monsieur. When you wear a mask, don't you understand that it does this and it does that and it does this and it does that?
Man, listen, bro. I done been through a whole lot of stuff in my life. I shouldn't be alive today. But here's the thing. Do you even care that people are perishing? Do you care about people getting salvation? And the fact of the matter is, you can go to some of these churches today, and I wholeheartedly do not believe that these people care at all whether or not you are saved. Because they love to smile at people that perish. When, what was his name? Crouch, TBN, Paul Crouch, when he died, you know how many Christians were putting up pictures of Paul Crouch in the midst of flames? They did the same thing when Eric Garner died. Christians. So you can receive the salvation of our Lord, but you celebrate when someone doesn't? Forget their political view. Forget whether they're men, women, black, white, whatever color of the spectrum. I don't know if that's the right word. Forget who they are. Did they have a relationship with Jesus Christ? When I hear that somebody passed away, I say, man, I hope that they were in Christ. Not their political view. Who cares? Their political view means nothing right now. As believers, have we managed to forget that we, just as much as we need a Savior, they need one too? Do you care if people are saved? If we as believers can grieve the Holy Spirit, what does someone perishing do to the Holy Spirit? A lot of people do not care if you're saved. They care about you filling up those seats, buying their book, their holy water, their conference tickets. They don't care about whether or not you are in Christ. What my hope is with this church is for us to be in the midst of all of it, of our relationship with the Lord. It's like, if you guys can imagine these two lights right here, if it's a cloud. Right now, we as believers, as Christians, we're reaching for that cloud. But we're standing here, and there's no way in the world physically that I could be able to touch the cloud. That's what we have done in our churches, is we have made this situation, we made God into this untouchable, right along with the pastors and the bishops and the first ladies and the second ladies and whoever else you want to think of, all these titled people, we put them into an untouchable situation right along with God. And the problem is they're trying to reach and they're trying to touch and they're saying, please, I want to know. And they are so busy, caught up in other things that they don't care to share. My hope is that we are in the cloud. tasting to see that the Lord is good, understanding that, you know what, I am so-and-so, but when I stand next to Luan, Luan is not better than I am. I'm not better than he is. We are all together students learning from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not amplify me at all. We're all together in the same boat. Because as I said before, and we'll say again, there will be a time when all of the nations, every ethnicity in the world, will stand and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as one bride and one flesh. And when you look around you, you may see a pastor that pastored a church of 15 million people. You may see a pastor that only had a church inside of his living room. But we're all going to be together worshiping the same God together. No one is going to be greater than the other. We're all going to be in love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And some of us are going to be gang members. Some of us are going to be mafia compos. Some of us are going to be involved with, would have been involved with all types of craziness in the world, but we have been forgiven. And when we stand there and we say, I lived this life where I was against God and I was fighting against him and I hated him, but you know what? His love came into me. His Holy Spirit entered into me and my life was changed forever. It would never be the same again, and I am thankful, so now I can be able to have intimacy with God that will last throughout the all totality of eternity. It doesn't matter who I am, who I was. Amen. That is what salvation is. Our salvation is to have that intimacy with him forever. Before we go, I've used this analogy before, and I'm going to use it one more time. Or not one more time, probably use it 10 more times today, but I'm going to use it today. Ask yourself this question, and think about this for your loved ones, friends, and anybody else. There's a song said, I decided to take a stand. Not knowing that I would lose my best friend, but I would rather live right than to wake up in hell, or to be in hell and to lift up my eyes. You understand that the Lazarus and the rich man story, that the rich man died and he lifted his eyes and he was in hell. So my question to you is this: when you close your eyes for the last time on this earth, when you open them, will you look at Jesus? And when you look into his, when you look at Jesus, when you look into his eyes, are you going to see love, compassion, tears with welcome? Or are you going to see him with rage, anger, unknowingly, cold, ready for you to depart from him? There's going to be one way or the other. He's either going to be Lord of your life and Savior, or he's going to be judge, jury, and executioner. Choice is up to you. Please consider these things as we go out this week and we share the gospel with other people. Please continue to pray for those that are not in him.